In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This past winter, my wife and I took a class together at VTS. And I think this was, despite going to undergrad together, I think this was the first time we've ever taken a class together. So that was, it was a lot of fun. And this class was on children's spirituality. So it was really fitting for both of us, because my wife, Teresa, is the director of religious education at a Catholic church over in Arlington, so it serves her work, and it works for me, because I think I'm going to have to work with kids one day. I'm just guessing. But this course was great. At the very core of this course was the reminder that all children, no matter how old, have within them a deep spirituality and a deep longing for the voice of God. And it's beautiful. I think from the very beginning, we desire to know God. Not just know about God, but we desire to know God. And this was at the heart of this course. 1 week, our class went to an Episcopal church over in Alexandria called Sharon Chapel, where they have committed themselves to a specific type of educating children. And this is a program known as the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. And it's used across many different churches. It's an interdenominational kind of thing, but it's a full-on commitment. The whole upper space in this church is known as the atrium, and it's a classroom devoted to programming for kids from anywhere from 3 to about the age of confirmation. And it's a unique Montessori style of education. So the children get to wonder, and they get to touch, and they get to engage all of their senses in this process. And it's beautiful. Our instructor that evening shared one really unique story that stuck with both of us, though. She said one time there was this 7-year-old girl who had been coming to the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd for the past 3 years or so. And as a reminder, that from that very beginning, at the heart of all of the lessons is the reminder of the Good Shepherd. That image of the Good Shepherd is central to all of the educational programming through this model. So this girl had been going for, you know, maybe 3-4 years at this point. And it was around Easter season at this point, so we're seeing a lot of the cross, right? So this 1 week, as she's looking at the cross and looking at this person on the cross, it finally hit her. She finally hit her. She knew who the Good Shepherd was. It was that guy on the cross. And she knew who that guy was. That was Jesus. And Jesus was God. And the Good Shepherd is God. And the Good Shepherd gave his life for her. And the Good Shepherd loved her. In that moment, tears began rolling down her cheeks. Because she finally knew. She knew who that voice was that had been calling her all her life. It was the Good Shepherd who loved her so dearly. It gave her life, his life for her. It's amazing. It's amazing to think that a child can experience that at such a young age. I want to point us to something we heard today. A song about the Good Shepherd. I think we all know it, right? It's a shepherd's song written by a shepherd about the Good Shepherd. This is Psalm 23, right? So Psalm 23 is extremely popular, right? But it's maybe just one of nearly 70 songs attributed to a single author, and that is King David, the King of Israel, the great musician. And I'd like to think that if this psalm appeared on some kind of album of some sort, it'd probably be on the greatest hits album, right? It'd be right in the middle. It'd be that track that you hear and you just start singing along, and you hear it in the shower and you want to start singing it. And what's so interesting about this, we don't know when David wrote this psalm. You know, maybe it was in his early years when he was still tending sheep. Maybe it was when he was slaying giants. You know, maybe it was even when he was playing with his 7 brothers in his mom's garage, right? In his band in Bethlehem. We don't know. Or perhaps maybe it was in his later years where this musician really struck it big and, you know, he became king of Israel. He got into a little too much trouble. Some jealousy, some murder, you know, a little infidelity too. All sorts of things musicians might get themselves into if they make it too big, right? I'm kidding. I'm kidding. The worst, not the... Anyway. Don't tell them. We don't know when David wrote this, though. Could have been early, could have been late. But what's so interesting about the imagery in this, right? We all know the words to this hymn, this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul. This is language of faith, is it not? And so maybe David wrote it when he was young and naive, right? But I don't think that's the case. David, his whole life, had seen that other end of this side of assurance, this side of comfort. David knew exactly what it was like to walk through that valley of the shadow of death. Because David experienced war. He experienced jealousy and lies, and even had to experience the death of his own son. David knew hurt, and yet David was faithful. Beyond all understanding, David was faithful. And what this psalm tells us is not just the language of a man's faith, but it's the language of a God who is faithful. It's the reminder that God will provide for David, that God will provide for us, God will provide for you. And I think it's easy to get wrapped up in this and just imagine that there's this good shepherd out there somewhere and that we're just sheep, right? And we have no power within ourselves and the good shepherd will take care of us. But I don't think that's exactly what's going on here. Because we know David wasn't just a sheep. David was the king of Israel. David was quite literally a shepherd. And metaphorically, he was a shepherd to so many people. What this is a reminder of is a reminder that not only are there times where we are going to be sheep, where we need people to care for us, where we need the good shepherd to care for us, but I think it's a reminder for us to participate in this divine life of the good shepherd. And for ourselves to become shepherds and caregivers for those around us in our lives. A little bit later this morning, our own Larry Packard is going to be sharing a little bit about Christian caregiving and pastoral care with us from some of his own experiences. And I think we can all understand what types of experiences these are. We've all had hurts in our own lives and the lives of those around us. And to understand what it is to be a shepherd in those moments and where we can draw strength from is absolutely, absolutely necessary. It's a reminder that, and I can say this from my own experience, that sometimes when people around us are walking through that valley of the shadow of death, that there's not much we can do besides simply be with them. I've had counseling sessions where I've sat in silence for an hour with an individual, because words were far too cheap and could not express what needed to be shared at that moment. And I think we've had moments along that hospital bed where we're simply holding hands with that loved one, or perhaps if you're a chaplain, a stranger. This is what it looks like to not only be a shepherd, but I think even in those moments we might get caught up and those lines get blurred and we realize that we are also sheep. That the ones that we are sharing time with are also shepherding us. That we share in this same hurt with one another. And where do we find strength in this? Well, one place, of course, is we hear it, and I think this comes to mind when we hear Psalm 23. We can find some comfort in the Psalms. We can find some comfort in Scriptures. Things that can express how we're feeling when we no longer have the words to do so. And the Psalms do such a good job at this, when we're hurting so badly, that these Psalms can express the deep pain that we do not have the words for anymore. And they can comfort us. And we can see a little bit what it's like to know that good shepherd who calls us each by name our whole life long. So we move forward from this place, just like that little girl who is looking for the Good Shepherd, looking to know that Good Shepherd, trying to listen quite finely to that voice, because that voice is calling. And when we finally turn and follow that voice, we realize that it was God all along moving us and giving us strength and showing us what it's like to also be shepherds and to also be comforted. So surround yourself with the love of the Good Shepherd. Surround yourself with those shepherds in your own lives who care for you. Just don't be surprised when you start looking a little bit like them yourselves. Amen.